Good morning, TCAC. It's me, Donnie. I'm happy to be back, sort of. Too bad I can't be at the church to see you all and to speak to you all and get to see how you all are doing. But during this pandemic time, I hope you guys are all doing good and you guys are doing safe, are being safe. And my family, myself, we are doing well. Ever since I left NTCAC, I had two more children, so in total I have three children, Hannah, Naomi, and Matea, where Hannah is 7 years old, Naomi just turned six, and Matea is two and a half, almost, yes. So I've been busy, and my wife has been busy. She's been working long hours. She's doing COVID-19 tracing at public health, so she's doing good. And just to let you know a bit about what we're doing, that's why I'm going through this, just to say hi. And I've been working from home, taking care of the children as well, babysitting, educating, and doing work at home. So for all those parents out there, you know how difficult that is and very frustrating at times and challenging. So that's how we are doing. And so ever since I left NTCAC, sorry. Probably some of you are wondering what I have been up to. I've worked at a church for a little bit after NTCAC, another church, and because of a young family, financially and time-wise, it has been very difficult for me to continue to pastor at a church. So God helped me transition back into the IT field. And I've been working at University of Toronto at U of T as a programmer analyst. And during this time, it was, I see it as a personal journey. God has put me through a personal journey to train me and to teach me in an area where I never learned when I was a child. And I wish I had learned when I was younger. It's about time management, how to do work in a scheduled way where you plan ahead and you schedule your time slot. So good work ethics, plan ahead, work hard and whatnot. And I have been, for all my life, I've been lacking this area. So I really thank God that he took this opportunity to allow me to learn it through U of T. And there was a lot of pressure. My boss was giving me pressure, and I think finally I have learned what I need to do. And believe me, I will teach my children from here on out at a young age how to do their scheduling, their time management, their financial management, everything. Prepare them for the real world, whereas I never was prepared for the real world, and I know how difficult it is out there, and I want to prepare my children. And I'm sure for all of you parents out there, you go through similar mindset as myself, I believe, where you want to prepare your children for what's to come. And perhaps you also go further as in providing them lessons and in terms of music or drama class, sports, whatnot, to explore their skill set and see if you can flourish them where God has blessed them. And those are very good and a responsible thing to do as parents, to prepare them for the future. Now, I want to mention one thing. We can prepare them all that we can for this world. However, there is one thing that if we miss out on, it would be the biggest and the one most big thing that we have missed out in terms of preparing them. And that's what I want to share with you as a parent to you parents out there. And I'm sure there's a lot of young parents, and I do believe, and I know there's a lot of young parents at NTCAC, and I want to share this heart to heart with you, this passage that I'm going to share with you today. And I would like us to turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. And I'm going to read this to you. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with your heart, with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom and get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Let me repeat the verse 7 again. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. So this Proverbs 4 is a poem written by King David's son, Solomon. And he was a king of Israel. He was a king who asked God for wisdom, and God blessed him with wisdom and much more. This godly father is teaching his children something very dear to his heart. Something so important that from verse 1 to 4, he's preparing his children's mind and heart to receive what he's about to say. Let me paraphrase from verse 1 to 4 what he was saying to them. Listen, Dad has something very important to tell you. It's truth. It's solid truth. Don't brush it off or let it go in one ear and out the other. For I too was a son to a father and loved by my mother. They loved me very much, but they had something very important they wanted me to know. My father said to me, what I'm about to tell you, keep these words in your heart and keep my instructions, because it's a matter of life and death. Now that the father has his children's attention, you can imagine the child thinking, what exactly is he telling me that has to do with life and death that is so important? And so the father has grabbed his son's attention, his children's attention, and their minds and hearts are ready to receive what was about to be told to them. And what is it that the father wants them to know? What is it that he wanted to pass down to them that their father, his father, passed down to him? And it is mentioned in verse 5. It says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Get wisdom. This father, King Solomon, could have taught them many things. He was a king of Israel. He could have taught them how to govern, how to lead an empire, how to project manage, time manage, the arts. He could have done all that, but he didn't. He told them, he probably taught them all that, but what I mean is, in this passage, he didn't focus on those. He focused on what was really dear to his heart, and he wanted them to have this for themselves as well. And what is it? It was wisdom. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, wisdom is important, but how is wisdom the most important thing? What makes it more important than anything else? That it involves life and death. When I first looked at this passage, I Googled wisdom, and I found this definition, and I think a lot of us would first think of this definition as wisdom. From the Collins Dictionary, it says the definition of wisdom is, wisdom is the ability to use our experience and knowledge in order to make sensible decisions or judgments. Now, the wisdom we are referring to over here in this passage is not about referring to this definition of wisdom. the wisdom we are referring to here is divine wisdom. And the Bible contrasts between the worldly wisdom with divine wisdom. Worldly wisdom is foolishness in God's sight. As 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." And divine wisdom is revealed to us through the mind, the will, and character of God, which is shown through the Word of God, the Bible. Godly wisdom has the characteristics of being gentle, peaceful, innocent, loving, sincere, and full of mercy. And it leads to godliness and peaceful relationships with others. James 3, verses 17 to 18 says this, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Worldly wisdom, on the other hand, has the characteristics of being self-centered. It exalts ourselves. There is pride, jealousy, and selfish ambitions, and use our own wisdom against others. And God's word calls such wisdom earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. James 3, verses 14 to 16 says this, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder in every vile practice." It is important that we continue to teach our children divine wisdom to prepare them for this world, because this world is constantly bombarding them every day with media, images, products to lead them to the wisdom of the world. There was a song by Miley Cyrus, which all the youth, I'm sure, have heard, or not heard, but know about Miley Cyrus. She's very popular. She's a singer among the youth generation. And she came out with this song not too long ago. The title is called "We Can't Stop." The lyric goes something like this. "It's our party. We can do what we want. It's our party. We can say what we want. It's our party. We can love who we want." And then so on and so forth. You get the picture. The philosophy or wisdom behind this is that you can do whatever you want. You are not accountable to anyone except yourself. You answer only to yourself. And this mindset is a self-centered one. It doesn't take into account any consequences in how it affects others. When you do your so-called freedom, others pay for it. For example, in the movies, somebody has a phone and they decide that they want to talk on the phone loudly. They want to text and the screen goes on and is very bright. So they get their freedom. However, everyone sitting around them, they pay for it. How do they pay for it? They don't get the full experience of the movie. They can't hear because the person speaking so loud, or the brightness of the screen distracts their experience with the movie screen. So this is not very nice nor considerate. And this is the wisdom of the world. So worldly wisdom. So this worldly wisdom, our kids can do whatever they want, is a lie. And I believe the devil wants to lie out to our generation, our youth, with many. And this is one of them, that they are not accountable to anyone and they have the freedom to do whatever they like. They can go out with who they want, sleep with who they want. But this is not true. The Bible says we will answer to God one day. Whether you're a Christian or not, no one escapes God's justice. Romans 14, verses 11 to 12, it says this, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." And we need to teach our children divine wisdom. We need to teach them the Word of God as it reveals to us who God is, His mind, His will, through the Word of God, His character, through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that we know what this father is teaching his children, going back to verse 1 to 4, it brings me to this important point. It shows this godly father is teaching his children the spiritual teachings he himself received from his father and wanting them to receive it for themselves. And it shows us as parents, we need to do the same. Whatever we learned about God, we are to pass on. We are to teach our children. And it's not only for spiritual teaching, but also the relationship to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to encourage them. We want to impress on them. We want to help them to go to the Lord and receive Him as their Lord, to have a relationship with Him. So at night, when we go to bed, before we go to bed, every night, I would sit with them. I would read with them the Action Bible. I don't know if you ever saw the Action Bible before. It's like this. It's a comic version of the Bible, and it's pretty accurate. But what it does is summarizes the stories. And what I like about it is give an overarching picture from beginning to end. And each story, it gives a very picturesque, very you can see what's going on and you can connect with it. And each story after the other, it follows the Bible and you can connect the line of stories throughout the Bible. And this makes it easy for the children to connect with it and to see where each story lies. And I read with them a chapter or two. Each chapter is about 2 to 4 pages. And I read to them, and they have very good questions. It brings up conversations, and this allows me to teach them. A lot of times my wife is working overtime. It's myself teaching my two children as my youngest one is in bed. So I can see as my opportunity to, it's my congregation, basically, congregation of two. And they have these great questions and it brings up all the theology I've learned in the past and I get this opportunity to teach to my kids. So it's pretty good. I really enjoy that. And they learn a lot and we learn together. And they have these good questions and we go pretty deep at times and I would be able to share with them and teach them. And this is a way where it's my opportunity to teach them. Now we arrive to verse 7. It says, "The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding." Understanding, in this verse, is another term for divine wisdom. The father is teaching his children the value of wisdom. Even though it would cost all that you have, get divine wisdom. In other words, get wisdom at all costs. We need to teach our children to seek God first, to put Him first. And this is far more important than money, the security of the world, fame. Not too long ago, I saw a movie about these two people who loved each other very much, but they had a dream to get into Hollywood. one wants to act and one wants to have his own club and play jazz. And they were struggling, but eventually both of them got the opportunity to pursue their dreams. And it so happened that they had to split and say goodbye to each other. And they were very successful, extremely successful. And at the end of the movie, you see them coming back. You see at the end of the movie that they meet up with each other, but they don't talk to each other because this time the girl was married to somebody else. And you see at this moment, they see each other. It was at a club and a guy was performing and the girl and the guy see each other, but they know they don't talk to each other basically. And that when she was about to leave, there was a moment where they looked at each other eye to eye. And that was a very sad moment. For me, this is how I interpreted that they both acknowledged. They both saw each other and the guy nodded. It's that moment that they both acknowledged that they both pursued their dream, they got what they want, but they can't be with each other. And that was a sad moment. And the question comes up for me was that, was it worth it? Was it worth it that they pursued their dreams, but they lost the love of their life, each other? This movie illustrates for me that one will seek what is dear in their hearts, what is the treasures of their heart. Their treasure was to pursue the dreams of their heart. We can ask ourselves, what is the treasures of our hearts? Is it money? Is it success? Is it the career, fame, and whatnot? Are we going to pursue those and give up everything else? Or are we willing to sell it all for a love relationship with God? Who comes first in our hearts? That's the question. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21 says this, and verse 33. It says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." This passage is telling us to put God first, so seek him first. Seek to know him and his divine wisdom. That is far more valuable than any money or success you can gain from this world. Get wisdom at all costs. And throughout these verses, the Father tells his children not to forget or forsake or turn away from wisdom. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Do not get sidetracked, allowing other things to take priority over God. Your career, seeking to earn as much money as you can, family, friends. And don't treat it as if it was from childhood, that it is no longer relevant in your life and is no longer needed. And to be honest, when I went back to the IT field, I got a taste of a career, a success, the success and the progress in the IT field. And it got my attention to focus on career for a bit. And the things of God felt like it was more of the past. But God is faithful to show me that I'm not very good in what I do. A lot of my colleagues are way more better than I am. And God revealed to me, I'm only human with a lot of flaws. And sometimes I question myself, I should be receiving this position that I'm working in. I personally don't think I qualify, and I'm not that very good. In fact, there's a lot of things I am pretty bad at. But that is the way God showed me. That's how God showed me that it is not myself who earned this position. It was God's blessing. He gave it to me. And he reminds me to humble me every time. And I should remember that it is God's blessing. It is work. I should enjoy it and do my best, but it should stop there. It should not be an idol. It should not become a priority over God. And so we need to ask ourselves from time to time, where is my heart? Where are the treasures of my heart? Is it the things of God? Is God still number one priority in our hearts? And are we willing to sell everything to God? Are we willing to sell it all for God? Get wisdom at all costs. Get wisdom at all costs. So this passage, I see it as three parts. The first part is to remind us that we need to teach our kids about God. We need to teach what we learned in the past and pass it on to them. Second thing we learned was, first thing, teach wisdom. Second thing was to learn wisdom, to learn divine wisdom, which is revealed to us through God's mind, His will, and His character, shown in the Word of God. We need to learn the Word of God. Number three, we are to seek wisdom. We are to get wisdom at all costs. In other words, we need to seek God. We need to seek who He is, to know who He is, and His divine wisdom. We need to put God first. He needs to be in our hearts. The treasure of our hearts needs to be the things of God, things above. So how does this look from a day-to-day life with your children? Practically, how can we teach our children? How can we prepare them spiritually? And I have two suggestions. First one is to have daily reading of the Bible with them. Each day, spend some time, 5 to 10 minutes with them. It doesn't have to be complicated. We need to invest every day some time, set a time to be with them, to read with them, to pray with them. And during those times, I believe the Spirit of God will lead to conversations and bring up the discussions, and you can have that time to teach them the things that you've learned that you can share with them. And by having this time each day, it gives you the opportunity to teach them, and it puts God as a priority in your family. Another point I want to say is, actively educate your children. Find out what they're learning at school and teach them what the Bible has to say about it. Whether it's in the public sector or in the private sector or in the Christian sector, it gives you the opportunity to help them discern what they're learning, where it falls into God's word. Know what your children watch on TV as well, what they listen to as music. Help them understand what they're listening to and to discern what is good and bad about it. I noticed there's a lot of children, kids shows that involves sorcery. And I would take those opportunity to share with them. And it's good that I had that chance to read with them the Bible about Saul. There was a point where Saul, God has left him. And he had nowhere to go. And he sought after a fortune teller, a witch, where he would ask her to summon up Samuel, the prophet, from the dead to give him advice or whatnot. And at that time, I was able to share with him about the danger of witches and sorcery. And then we were watching this cartoon show. It looked very innocent. To see, that's how the devil does it. He packages everything beautifully and innocent, and it doesn't seem dangerous at all. But in that show, the focus was on a fortune flower that does some magical thing for some magical purposes. And I quickly took the opportunity to talk to my kids, saying, it's talking about fortune flower. It's talking about fortune telling. Remember what we spoke about in the Bible regarding Saul, how dangerous it is? And then they connected to the story and they understood what I was saying. And they were agreeing with me and we were on the same page. So we continued watching. But the most important thing was they knew what they were watching and they knew what was good and bad about it. I want to end off this sermon with this passage, which I believe summarizes what I was speaking today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. This passage is saying two important points. Number one, to encourage your children, to impress on them, to teach them to love God with all their hearts and to put him first. And number two is that we need to talk to them throughout the day. Allow God to be part of your family. And it's very natural if he's part of your family to talk to them, thank God as you're riding bikes. You can see the nature, the weather is beautiful, it's becoming more beautiful. And you can talk to them about God's nature and you praise God. And sometimes as a parent, I would offend my children and God would convict me and I would apologize. So these are some ways that you allow God to be a part of family. And whatever they do, wherever they watch, listen, their culture, it allows you to speak to them from God's perspective and to talk to them about what God wants to teach them at those moments. So as a new parent, fairly new, and I know a lot of you are new parents and some of you are seasoned parents, I continue to encourage you to remember this, to teach your children about God, to teach them divine wisdom, to learn with them the Word of God. Divine wisdom is about the mind, the will, and the character of God, of knowing who he is. And through the Word of God, you will learn who he is. And thirdly, to seek him with all your hearts, to put him first. God bless you, NTCC. Bye-bye.